Lord Jesus Christ.
Glory to him forever. Welcome to our kitchen table.
All right, we are back at the feet of St. Theophan. And we are starting a new section in the first part, which is the influence of the parents upon the child. So, would you like to read?
Sure, we're on page 40.
And we'll be reading only 4 paragraphs tonight. Mm-hmm. They're short.
Yep. The spirit of the infant has, as it were, no movement as yet in the first days, months, and even years. It is impossible to communicate anything for him to assimilate by the usual means of communication, but one may influence him in another way. There is a certain special way of communication between souls through the heart. One spirit influences another by means of the feelings. The ease of exerting such an influence upon the soul of an infant is in direct proportion to the fullness and depth of the parent's feeling for the child. The father and mother, as it were, disappear into the child and put their whole soul into his welfare. And if their spirit is penetrated with piety, it cannot be that in some way this will not influence the soul of the child. The best outward conductor in this respect is the eyes. Whereas in the other senses the soul remains hidden, the eyes open their gaze to others. This is the meeting place of one soul with another. Let the openings be used for the passage of holy feelings from the souls of the mother and father to the soul of the child. Their souls cannot help but anoint the soul of the child with this holy oil. It is necessary that in the gaze of the parents, there should not be only love, which is so natural, but also the faith that in their arms there is something more than a simple child. The parents must have the hope that he who gave them this treasure under their watch as a vessel of grace might furnish them also with sufficient means to preserve him. And finally, there should be ceaseless prayer performed in the spirit, aroused by hope according to faith.
Guy. Oh, beautiful words. And well, do you have anything to say at the beginning?
Yeah, I do. Well, we talked a little bit about these beginning paragraphs before we started recording, mm-hmm. but I think I came to my own conclusion in that. But I at first I had a little bit of a problem.
That's why I started differently this time.
At first I had a little bit of a problem with it is impossible to communicate anything like to an infant or a child who is in his first days, months, or even years, because I'm you know, with these babies all the time, and for sure I'm able to communicate things to them, but from reading the rest of this and talking with you, I've realized that it's communicating reason and feelings. Well, this is what I've, you know, mm-hmm. I think that he's saying, you know, but, and not just communication in general, but things that, like, communication of our souls with each other and these feelings that he's talking about and, spiritual law, like spiritual, you were saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was my gripe, but now it's done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How dare he? Doesn't he know that Miron Theophan knows how to say please?
In sign language.
Come on, St. Theophan.
Oh, it's funny.
You know better than that. Mm. No. But I think we missed the point the first time.
Yeah.
Or when we were discussing by ourselves. And I think we came to a much healthier conclusion, mm-hmm. that it is really about this understanding of spiritual laws and reason and why we are doing what we are doing, mm-hmm. you know, going to church, for example, or
right.
Going to church rather than watching cartoons in the morning,
sure.
on Sunday. So, yeah, I the second paragraph I would like to talk about a little bit, because there is a couple of sentences that I marked, and the first one is the one spirit influences another by means of the feelings. And you know, I thought to myself, what a beautiful sentence, because when we are home, especially, I mean, we are different case because I'm home working from home and you are home working from home and taking care of the kids. But feelings fly around this house like crazy. And sometimes you're sad, sometimes somebody calls me and I'm super angry or super happy, and these two little ones are like these little receivers. They
sponges.
They see how I act or how you act on the phone or when somebody comes over, and they, as you said, it's like they're like sponges.
Mm-hmm.
And well, are we giving them the good stuff to soak in as a sponge, or are we giving them just our passionate selves?
Poor reactions
that were poorly not executed, but poorly, what's the word? Controlled.
Right. Yeah, very true.
You know.
Yeah, and we let our passions take over our reaction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we don't handle things in Christian ways.
Mm-hmm.
or ways that I Theotokos looking right at me, so I'm always thinking to myself, like, how would our Holy Mother be right now in this situation? And 10 times out of 10, it's not how I am it's not how I am acting or responding. So
yeah.
Well, and something else that a sentence that stuck out for me,
mm-hmm.
in the second paragraph is the father and mother, as it were, disappear into the child and put their whole soul into his welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Try not to cry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any of us who are parents know that you give your whole self for your children, you know, and everything that you do is for them.
Yeah.
And there's like no truer sentence than this one, because it is truly death to self so many times, where you are putting yourself completely in the back burner for the well-being and the love and genuine care for your children.
Yeah. And well, I'll just finish, because the second part of the sentence, and if their spirit is penetrated, the parent's spirit is penetrated with piety, it cannot be that in some way this will not influence the soul of the child.
Yep.
I mean, that's just a continuation that,
yeah.
You know, we already are giving ourselves fully, and not just fully, but above for our kids. But I think it's healthy way to step back and see, well, okay, I'm doing all these things that are good for our child.
Mm-hmm.
But am I also giving him the piety that he needs, or he or she needs, to behave good in church, or to be, really nowadays, I would say, even strong Christian
in the world. Yeah.
I mean, with all these things that are happening and confusions that are just mental sickness,
yeah.
We do really need to start thinking about the piety of us, our piety, and how it goes to our children.
Yeah, and also the lack of no matter what it is, if we are penetrated with piety, that's going to influence them in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
But if we aren't, then that's also influencing them equally, but in a negative way.
Right. I don't know who said it. I don't think it was a saint. Maybe it was my father. Doesn't matter.
Pretty much the same thing.
But, you know, I heard that what you do at home comes to church.
Mm.
You know, and what you do in church should come home. And that should give like a fertilizer for till the next liturgy comes. So maybe, you know, if there is Wednesday and Sunday liturgy, then this piety should grow each Sunday, and the children should see it, that mm-hmm. that you really live communion to communion,
mm-hmm.
confession to confession, and trying to become this, as it says in the baptism, warrior for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's beautiful to even think about giving that, you know, that I fought this,
mm-hmm.
I fought for this piety. This is a shortcut I'm giving you, you know, to Miron or Emilia, but this is also the tools how you can progress further in the spiritual life,
right,
in a ways that maybe it will take me next decade.
Yeah. Well, and it's also not something that they're like learning, but it's just a natural movement of their soul, that they're being influenced, their souls are being influenced by us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of these, on one of Father David's podcasts, it was just a simple phrase, and it was just this, and I've heard it a million times, somebody saying that we are embodied spirits. And I even told you about that really struck me. And sometimes when I think about that, and when I was just, it came to my mind, and I was thinking about R2, and sometimes you just don't, it's hard to realize that they are embodied spirits just like we are, and they have souls. They're not just tiny babies with no recognition of anything, and to remember that is really horrifying and scary, because you think, like, I think to myself, like, okay, well, Emilia is 9 months old. She can't talk. She just started crawling. You know, it's, she's just this new baby, and...
What do you mean she can't talk?
Well, anyhow, but the things that I do in the day do affect her and will help form her. Because, you know, I mean, because they're with me all day, so that's why I'm using that as an example. But, yeah.
I think that how I want to say it is that really children should feel home at church. You know what I mean? But I think that feeling comes from parents.
Yeah.
If they consider church their first home,
mm-hmm.
then children will also consider it as their home, and it will become something very natural.
Yeah. Well, and that's I think that's a different discussion.
It is, but
yeah.
I just want to insert it.
No, I agree with you. It's definitely...
These are the actions. This is piety, part of it.
Yes.
But... I did like what you said about the eyes, and I would like you to repeat it, because we were not recording.
Oh, sure. Well, we started to talk about the eyes a little bit when we started this podcast again, because I'd read ahead, and just this part really struck me, about the best outward conductor in this respect is the eyes. Whereas in other senses, the soul remains hidden, the eyes open their gaze to others, and... wow. It has... If it doesn't make you look at yourself and how you not only just talk to your kids, but talk to other human beings, it should.
Yeah.
Because every time I read this, I think about the day that I just had, or the moment that I'm in, like right now, I'm looking into your eyes and I'm like, wow, this is like soul to soul right here, you know? But how my eyes influence our children every day, whether it be happiness, joy, irritation, if I'm having just a stressful day with them, or, you know, something like that, or stress or anger, you know, and maybe outside influences are bringing that in or something like that. But when I am having those big feelings, like we're talking about here, I have to take a step back and think to myself, how do my children see my soul right now through my eyes? And is it loving and kind and caring? And is it like our Holy Mother who is looking at me right now? You know, it's like, am I being a Christian mother?
Are you using it, or are you using these passages for holy feelings?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a beautiful reflection right there, just to think about.
Mm-hmm. Like, this is the meeting place of one soul with another. And again, it goes back to the same thing, like, embodied spirits, here we are. They are souls, just like we are. It's, and our eyes are where we meet. And especially when they can't communicate, as she's going back to that first paragraph,
yeah.
saying, you know, and because we can see sometimes in their eyes when they are having these, when they're scared or sad or super happy, you know, we can see those things.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times our, what we do influences that.
Yeah. I thought it was Miron served last week for the first time. And there was a beautiful advice. Thank God I had my liturgy in the morning, so I was allowed to be a little bit more distracted for the second one.
Yeah.
And so I was looking at him a couple of times, and both times, once he was with Randy and second time he was with me, you could see him just looking around.
Mm-hmm.
But not looking around in a way that
he was curious or something.
Curious, but he was looking at something. And I'm like, little dude, what are you seeing what I'm not seeing?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And those are like these precious moments where you realize that, you know, that eyes communicate.
Mm-hmm.
But even with the heavenly, and these little children who have pure souls, they get to see things that we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think this also second example is that sometimes when we meet somebody that is maybe not holy but very Christian-y, you know, and you look at in their eyes when you meet them, and you know, you just know, like, this guy prays,
mm-hmm.
this guy spends real time with God,
yeah,
and you can just see it in their eyes, and they leave a certain imprint on you that you can't shake off, and it's kind of like stamped it onto your heart, because you will always remember that moment. This guy gave me this weird look, but it's weird because I knew that it was something heavenly.
Mm-hmm. You know who I'm gonna say?
Who?
Oh, who's that bishop?
Oh, Abel.
Oh, bishop. Bishop Abel. Oh my gosh. I could just sit and look at him. I know that sounds so creepy. I'm such a weirdo.
Oh,
but I could just sit and look at him. He, oh my goodness gracious.
Him and Bishop,
Philip,
Archbishop Philip.
Philip, yeah.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
I think both of them knew. I would say Bishop Abel with this eye contact. He was in my parents' house for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to spend some good quality time with
and
him.
And I did. I sat across the table from him, and I just looked at him like a complete weirdo for like the entire dinner. And I had to tell myself, stop staring at this man. He's just such a beautiful and holy person. You could tell it's just in the depth of his eyes.
Yeah, I mean,
but
this is what it, and but also with Archbishop Philip,
mm-hmm.
just his presence.
Yeah.
And when he looked at you got stuck.
Yeah.
You know, he was
sure.
Like,
mm-hmm.
So for sure, this is if you pay attention in real life, this can happen.
Yeah. Well, and do you have anything?
No.
Okay.
I think I'll go.
The next sentence here, let the openings be used for the passage of holy feelings from the souls of the mother and father to the soul of the child. I mean, I don't think I've ever actually experienced that yet, because I don't think I have holy feelings yet. I don't know. I, you know what I mean. Like, I'm... I, there's just like such an imperfect peace that you think that we'll never be able to communicate those holy feelings. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I guess
it's not perfect holiness.
Yeah, I think it's split seconds.
Yeah.
You know, that mm-hmm. when this prayer touches you during morning or evening prayers,
sure.
when we are with them,
mm-hmm.
And if they look at you, because they don't have to see face to face. I mean, they can still see you, and if they see a reaction that prayer
That's
has
true.
Touched your
yeah.
touched your heart, then maybe this that maybe there is some kind of this passage of holiness, maybe not through you but through your guardian angel.
Yeah.
That
mm-hmm.
he loves them to see that maybe you are imperfect or that we are imperfect, but there is this grain of
love
and struggle for holiness that
yeah.
that is
yeah.
inserted into our kids. At least this is my hope.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, moral of the story for me in this paragraph is that I have to take a step back and always see myself through their eyes.
Yeah.
And is my communication with them being a like
Christian.
true mother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the lot for me to go for in the last paragraph it is that second two thoughts. First, I like that he puts love aside, which is the normal thing,
mm-hmm.
which is natural thing, but he puts forward faith
mm-hmm.
that we put into our kids through us. So I think that's something to think about too, that well, sure, we love them, but do we give them the same faith as we have?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's saying faith that in their arms there's more than a simple child.
Right.
And I, for me, oh my gosh. Oh, I was just listening to Father David's podcast today, and it was about I, myself, and just this horrible passion that just made me think about it because I say I way too much. I'm sorry. Anyhow.
She's making faces.
Oh my gosh. No,
excuse
I just.
Me. Help me.
Sometimes I'm just am struck with my own.
You're in awe of yourself.
No, I am in disgust of myself. Gosh. Anyhow. But I'm thinking to myself more than a simple child. Maybe because these simple children are going to grow up and be adults,
yeah.
first of all, and second of all, because their spirits that need to be made holy and are seeking salvation too. They're not just a little kid who is, you know, going to be a little kid forever.
Yeah. Wait, what? No, right. Right. Yeah, I agree. I think I just misread the paragraph.
I wasn't trying to call you out, but...
No, it's okay.
But you're right. The faith is something that needs to be deeply rooted in them. Yeah, well, and that is through us, too, is us let them seeing us live our faith as fully as possible will help ingrain that in them.
Yeah. And the last... What I like... I mean, I like everything... Just stop saying that. Today is not a good day for me to record. I'm sorry. But he gives, in this final paragraph, he gives good advice to parents that they should have hope that God gave them this treasure under their watch as a vessel of grace. You know, it's one he gave the kids to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's our turn to give thanks and beg him for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
How?
Yep. And that he will give us sufficient means to preserve them.
Mm-hmm.
Which thank the Lord he has.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah.
Anything else for you?
No.
It's been a rough day.
Sorry for the jumbled discussion, but random thoughts.
Yeah. You can't win all the time. All right. Well, we will see you next time. To praise the Holy Father, the Holy Spirit.